What's up, guys? Welcome to the Social Media Entrepreneurs Podcast, teaching you how to become a full-time entrepreneur by leveraging modern social media strategies. I'm your host, Derek Vidal, and today I am joined by Kevin Crenshaw, the heart guy. He is the.heart.guy on Instagram. You got to check him out. He's got over 33,000 followers, and I followed him for a couple of years now because he just really knows how to get his message across in a very concise way. I think it's difficult to put Twitter quotes on Instagram and have them do as well as he's done. Every time I do it, I always start with like a couple paragraphs and I just try to condense it and try to make this little phrase that sounds nice and hits the right way and gets your point across. And it's actually really difficult to put together like 1 to 3 sentences that can really deliver a lot of value. So go check that out. And today we're going to dive into his social media strategies and also his core messaging as a relationship coach. And we'll talk about dating as an entrepreneur. So I think this is going to be a very interesting episode, could very well be over the usual hour. So let's dive right in. Kevin, how's it going, man?
It's amazing. I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to be talking about business because most of the podcasts that I'm on, I talk about love and relationships, which we're going to talk about that too. But yeah, it's just really cool for me to talk about different topics.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to jump all around, but we'll get into the business side first because I think the relationship side we could maybe dive too far in. But yeah, the business side. So first off, actually, give us a little bit of background on Kevin Crenshaw, and then we'll dive into the business tactics.
Beautiful. So from a business standpoint, I grew up an entrepreneur, quite literally. My dad owned a brick and mortar business, franchised it out, had 50 different franchises, like grew that thing out here in Memphis, Tennessee. And from a very young age, I was entrepreneurial. Like I was selling art drawings to kids for quarters in elementary school and shit. Like, I don't know what it was about my brain, but I loved selling. I loved building things and creating communities, getting people together. Some of my most memorable times growing up was when, like, my birthday parties, when I'd have like 10 of my friends over. Right. And so I carry that into the work that I do now. And I bring it up because it's so important of like, what I do is also my soul's purpose of cultivating community, getting people together and creating an amazing experience. Now it's just gone deeper of like a life-changing experience, and it's gotten more refined as I've matured. But I think it's also, it's really important to look back on what lit you up as a kid and go, well, how can you somewhat do some of that now or bring that essence into your business now so that it can fulfill you? Because I've gone deep down the rabbit hole of building something that really wasn't me. And I woke up at the end of it going, okay, I did all the things and was so unfulfilled on the inside. I had my entrepreneurial start in network marketing. I did that for about 4 years, crushed it in terms of sales, but I couldn't build a downline. I couldn't really, like, in terms of leadership was lacking at the time. And I really was just in love with the products, which was fitness based. And then that got me into group fitness and personal training. And I did that for, God, 5+ years. I've had over my 10,000 hours of teaching group fitness classes. And I used to be the shy kid in school. So like going from shy to like being in front of people was a huge shift for me. But what I was really doing in that season, I knew fitness wasn't forever, but I couldn't see what the next thing was. And so I just gave it 100%. And looking back, I'm glad because I refined my channel, so to speak, of like when I'm in the flow and just speaking, and also my stage presence, which helps me for what I'm doing now with creating a company that's also heavily involved in events and me being on stage. So I really got a lot of refinement of my skills, served me well, learned about business. I had tons of stocked businesses in terms of like drop shipping. I've done e-commerce a little bit. I'd have to get odd jobs here and there. And for a season, I was actually homeless, like literally sleeping out of my car on the side of the street out in Dallas, Texas for about 6 months. And I really struggled a lot with money and the concept of money. So there's a lot that I had to move through and just fail the business ventures. You know, I was launching my online fitness thing and I had 50K plus followers on that account. And like, nothing was converting. I was like, all these people love me, but I wasn't selling anything. And I from the sales realm. Like, I know how to sell. What's the disconnect? That's when I was homeless and I was just fucking frustrated, man. I'm like, what do I do? And kind of was like, all right, well, you just got to get your shit together. So I picked up 4 jobs and worked my ass off to get a place and furnish it and meet my own needs. And I got back into the entrepreneurial grind again. And I was like, all right. And like, I just relentlessly kept going through it, even while I'm thinking to myself, you're fucking crazy. You know, yeah, it's not working. When are you going to pivot? You got to do something else. And I was like, no, I pulled the plug on college and I don't want to do a traditional route to things. So I'm going to make a fucking way. And whether I had to do on the side, personal training gigs or business consulting gigs on the side or whatever the thing was that I was doing and helping other people out with their brandings. I got really into that for a season. Like, it all piled in together. My real big break was in 2019. I was couch surfing. So kind of homeless, right? And I was like, I just hit this point where I was like, okay, what do I really want to fucking do? I was like, what can I talk about for hours? Relationships. Because even though I was in the fitness industry, I was always reading books about love and relationships because that's where my pain was in my own personal life. And I was obsessed about that area, but I'm like, why am I then leading with fitness? Well, I want to inspire people. I want to help people, but it goes deeper. So I had to pull the plug on the thing that I got really fucking good at, which is fitness, and go into a completely different industry, different realm, lighting my soul up. Like, in a way where I wasn't depleted, because fitness, while it was helpful in the beginning, it started to just like, I was like, I don't want to teach class today. Like, I was having to get myself amped up through caffeine or something to like motivate these people. And I was like, it just became too redundant. And so in 2019, I was like, okay, I got really clear on my offer. I got really clear on who I'm helping. And even though I wasn't clear myself, I just decided. I was like, cool, I'm going to help this person heal codependency, heal from heartbreaks. I'm going to create something for this. And I just started creating these online experiences or courses. And from a little bit of my momentum from building my fitness industry, Instagram, I moved a lot of followers over. I made this whole thing of like, I'm not doing fitness anymore. I'm the heart guy. And like, so I had a lot of momentum growing from that in terms of following and online presence. And then I actually just started releasing things. I started making waves. I started a podcast that was a daily podcast. I started posting every day. I was like just output every day, collaborating with other people. And I started answering people's questions. And I just started refining like, oh, they need this. And oh, I went through this and I know how to heal it. So let me speak to this and make something on that. And so it was like creative, but I created a course and I created, and that went really well. Created a live event, and I did end up doing like 7 or 8 of those, in 2019 alone. And I really started to build the foundation of my brand. I did my website all by myself. If you go to heartguy.com, it needs a facelift right now. Some of the copy is outdated, but you can kind of see it's not a traditional website. And I was all about how do I stand out and be unique. And so with everything that happened in 2019, built it to 6 figures in terms of a year revenue. And then the next year, 2020 hit, is rocky because, you know, 2020, but I actually doubled down and made $250,000 that year. And that was because I started building systems where I hired on salespeople. I hired on people to help me with my content. I hired on people to like, I built a team. And here's what I was alluding to before of like, dude, I built the thing that I was like aiming for. And I got to the top. I had the team. I had everything. It was all coming in, making $250,000. And I was just not happy because I almost automated it all too much and distanced myself from my clients. Because somebody else was servicing my clients and all the things were on pre-recorded videos and da, da, da. And I was just then talking to my team, which was great, but I lost my heart in it. And everything came crumbling down. One thing led to another. And within the span of 3 months, I had 0 team. all my clients' contracts ended and I had nothing, just everything halted to a stop. And it was in that moment I was like, okay, well, I get to redo this. And around that time, I had a near-death experience as well that put me in a space of, I just needed to like hermit mode. Like I've overworked myself. I need to like change my come from. I just had this traumatic experience. And so for about a year and a half, I didn't really work. Like I launched a mastermind, high-end mastermind, and I showed up for them. And so it helped me sustain financially. But I wasn't making content as much anymore. I just took some time off, man. I was like, I'm fuck the grind. Like I did the thing, I got the stuff, and it wasn't fulfilling. And so the season that I'm in now, you know, I have a side business. I do Turo car rentals on the side, and I have a consulting business where I help other people with their branding and marketing because I have a marketer's brain. And for all my life, I've always loved studying marketing. I'll read a marketing book just for the fun of it. I'm in the process of building my business now with something that's fulfilling to me as well in terms of how I'm doing it. So I'm still the same topics, but I realized like, oh, I built this online masterpiece, but I don't want to just fucking be on my computer all day. I want to be in front of people. I want to like be in the room. I want to like have that experience. And so, you know, I have a retreat coming up and I have a whole plan on how I'm going to create now an event company to pair with all of this. And I'll still have the online stuff, but that's basically catching you up.
Very interesting. Yeah. A lot came up there. We're gonna have a good conversation today. We're very similar. I became an online entrepreneur. I was selling Cutco for 7 years before it, just talking to people all day. And then all of a sudden just behind my computer, and Zoom calls don't really give you it doesn't satisfy your extrovert nearly as much as in-person conversations. And it was such a shift, but then you're making no money, so you have to keep working, which happens on your computer. So, I mean, the most you can do is like go work in public, but you can't hire a team yet. So, I think the in-person thing, it's something that I've been wanting to do, or get back on speaking on stages. Even though you can get a YouTube video to get a few thousand views, I'd rather have 50 people sitting there, because you're still going to connect with those 50 people a lot more, you know, not to put it into numbers, but you could probably get of those 50 people, like probably 5 to 10 of them are going to follow you on Instagram after, and of the 1,000 on YouTube, you might get 1 or 2 from that. So it really does make a big difference. So is it right to guess that you're extroverted and then also that you may have ADHD, the superpower?
I grew up with ADHD. I was medicated for it and everything like that. I do have an addictive personality. So I would say so. I weaned off my medication like, you know, a decade ago. And I think for the most part, I've learned to focus. I wouldn't say I have ADHD now or ADD now, but I grew up with it and was diagnosed with it and was medicated for it. I think I just had a shit ton of energy and didn't know what to do with it. And so I was just a crazy person. And now I've learned to channel that energy in the right ways and pour it into something. And that's my extremism and my addictive personality. Yeah.
And with enough purpose that then it can overcome your inability to focus.
Right. And I don't have that inability to focus anymore. I'm very focused. And it's actually part of a lot of the work that I help people do in relationships is healing from trauma. And so that plays into the nervous system, and being grounded and being able to be present is a big part of what I talk about.
Okay. And back to when you said your business came to a halt before, was that you halting it, or was it all of a sudden your systems weren't working anymore?
One thing or another, I had a contract because a lot of my team wasn't on contract. Like I didn't sign anything. And so I'm like, oh, well then I need to have them sign a contract. And like, it was this whole thing in our organization of like they kind of got walls up defensive, like what the heck? And it brought up deeper conversations, and then people just started bouncing out. And I was like, all right, well, like shit, I just lost my coaches. Cause I thought I was doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And it really hurt emotionally. And all these people still are my friends. But I was like, what am I doing wrong? And looking back, I probably wasn't paying them enough. I was taking more of a percentage than I should have from my own scarcity mindset. And I'm really see how much the health of the organization is the health of the mindset of the CEO, because of my experience. Like I was just I definitely wasn't paying them enough. And that was one of their complaints, but I was so scarcity mindset and I had so much shit around money that I couldn't conceive paying them more at the time. And part of that's probably why they left, because they were doing so much work with me getting more than 50% of the, you know, income from that, or the percentage of commission. And so it was just, I could have done a lot different, especially when it comes to money. I had the heart. I could rally the troops. I could train people. I had the leadership. But when it came to money management, that was my downfall. And it ultimately, me being in a lot of debt, owing people money, being late on payments and not paying them enough, it's kind of like, all right, dude, like, fuck. So everybody ended up leaving in the span of 3 months, all my team.
Got it. And once they left, it wasn't a matter of I should rehire people. It was... It was
a punch in the face, bro. I was like, yeah, it was a punch in the face. I'm like, I gotta do this different. And I took some space to like, okay, I gotta sit with what just happened and like learn a lesson here.
Yeah.
Versus just bulldoze and keep going forward. Cause I'm like, okay, this happened for a reason. It was eerie that even people in different departments of the company left for one reason. It wasn't like just everybody left together. And so I was like, okay, God, I see you. This is teaching me something. It's like, don't keep sprinting in that direction. You're going to end up hurting yourself. You know?
Yeah. I feel like it's common for a lot of entrepreneurs to need to take a period where they just kind of stop taking action for a little bit and go into their innovative state and, self-exploration time and really figure out what's going on before making that next move. As someone who is really in tune with health, wealth, and relationships, the three major areas of life, how much have you found that your problems with one of them are all like rooted in the same problems?
It's so one thing that I've realized is, you familiar with like a wheel of life?
I believe so. I've done an exercise like called
It's like you rate your fulfillment or where you're at in the major areas of life. You want to look at the lowest area, the one that's the weakest. So again, health, wealth, relationships, if we're just looking at the big three, where's the weakest one for you? And then you want to look at why is it weak? What is it about that area on an energetic, fundamental level? And there's almost always a person associated with why that is. Mom, dad, an ex, something. Or you say a group of people too sometimes. And so the work is at actually healing the charge from that instance, and you're able to change your behavior automatically instead of trying to like push yourself to do different. You start to be different and you free yourself up into a new mode of operating. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So I like, yes, they impact each other. And when it comes to like impacting all of it, that's why I stay in relationship coaching. It's all about relationships.
And as a relationships coach, are you focused on all types of relationships or romantic?
Mainly romantic, because they're the most emotionally charged. But what I teach about romantic relationships can pour into business or even friends.
And unlike a lot of other dating coaches, it doesn't seem like you've niched to either guys or girls. You do teach to everyone.
Teach to everyone.
And even in your programs, I'm sure is the same way. Do you have a niche?
Did you know that you can change what you taste by what you hear? How can you use sound to make a deeper connection with your clients? Can we be healed with sound? Sound influences people in their buying decisions and their daily lives. In the podcast Audio Branding, I explore all of this, both with my own observations as a voice actor of over 15 years and by interviewing knowledgeable professionals in the field of advertising, marketing, music, and science. To have a listen for yourself, visit audiobrandingpodcast.com.
Yes and no. I've struggled with that a lot.
Besides like just yourself, like it's your content. So it's like, obviously your niche.
It's people who love and want, they value that area of their life. They want to get better at it.
Okay.
To it's a very big an umbrella, right? But like, I don't niche down to like, I help men get the girl. Like I ain't about that. And yeah. And like, I wouldn't even consider myself a dating coach. I'm more of a relationship coach. Is like, okay, you're either going to focus on your own self healing and self worth and self love, or you're in a relationship and you're wanting to make it work because you love each other so much. And the relationship you built maybe isn't it, but you love each other. So how can you, you know, collaborate in a different way where you really feel like a team? And then also peeling back the layers, I also bring some of my fitness background into it. And what I mean by that is that I'm approaching their health in their nervous system. And so a lot of the work that we do is experiential because you're making a change in their nervous system. And if you have more sense of peace, if you're just peaceful, you're going to love easier. You're not going to defend yourself. You're not going to like try to control or manipulate the situation. You're going to speak your truth because you're peaceful and you feel safe in who you are. You know yourself, right? So I help people get to that point.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense for actually getting people results the way that you're taking your approach here. Because if someone watches a video like 10 pickup lines or 10 good conversation starters to use on Hinge, like that's not going to ever solve their problem. They're not going to be like, finally, I have like the 10 lines. Cause like they should, it's an inner work that they'd have to do to be able to actually date. Even if that line does work, they don't have the follow-up line after that video for you. So
getting a girlfriend or boyfriend is a completely different skill set than keeping a boyfriend or girlfriend.
Yeah.
So like trying to get the guy or get the girl is literally just like a sliver of what it actually takes to sustain it. If you focus on trying to get them, you probably won't keep them. If you focus on what it takes in terms of who you are to keep them, getting them will be easy.
Yeah. I've really noticed that this change in my life, like the last couple of years has been really transformational for me in this field. A breakup about 3 years ago kind of took me out of the market or took my head out of the game. I really kind of lost myself for a little bit and dating wasn't going the best. And then, I won't get too into it, but nowadays I feel a lot more grounded and centered and much better at getting dates, going on a second one, not just getting a lot of first dates, and definitely been making some big strides there. Before this call, we were talking about how you're looking to turn your business still more interpersonal, and we'll try to keep it tactical because I'm sure we could dive into the other side of this. But from a business standpoint, what would you say is the advantages that you're looking to get out of the interpersonal side of these meetings? And kind of tell me about some of the numbers, like what are you looking to charge if you don't mind, or are you looking to do like a free event and then you sell a paid event after? Kind of tell me the system side of it to start.
Yeah. So right now the system is a low tier offer, probably for $97, and it's going to be 6 hours probably. I like to go at it. So that's going to be like my thing. I'll probably do that once a month. And then I'll have a 3-day retreat. That's a much deeper dive. That's going to be probably 3K. And then I'll have membership offers. So two different tiers of a mid tier, probably $200 a month. And then a higher tier, $1,500 a month, call it a mastermind. And then there'll be events for those people as well, just for only if you're in the group. Right. So that's the business model that I'm looking at right now. And it might pivot, it might change, but we'll see.
And you're looking to run Facebook and Instagram ads to the $97 offer?
So interestingly enough, I've never run ads to anything. A lot of it's been either word of mouth or organic outreach or word of mouth, me just spreading the word and getting it. I filled rooms up doing that. So maybe one day we'll have a marketing team and we'll do a whole thing online with that. But for right now, I get so much momentum organically that it doesn't make sense for me to.
And you mean word of mouth by like your own, like when you go out and just talk to people?
No, not going out. I'll text friends and be like, yo, I'm doing this event. Would you mind sharing it? Yo, or would you want to come? Or things of that nature. So I'm kind of old school in that way, but I found that it works for me and it's worked for me and it's probably not going to work forever. So I probably going to pivot into ads here very soon, but I just had a bad experience with ads. Probably I've lost over 35K with zero ROI. different agencies and different ways of doing it and trying. And I'm just like, I kind of got burnt. So
I've never heard a good I won't say never. For new businesses, I have never heard of a good agency hire. For very established businesses, hiring very established agencies, sure, it can work.
I wasn't established enough.
Yeah.
I didn't know my target audience enough. I didn't know the things enough. So I entered in prematurely and just blew away a bunch of money. So that's, you know, a lesson that I learned. So for people that aren't starting out, I would say wait until it may not make sense, but like 2-3 years. Refine your craft, get really fucking good at what you're doing. And then that stuff will come. Like focus on, because even the course that I made, man, like my deliverable of like my product, so to speak, I refined that thing 5 times. It is polished and like perfect. I've got this thing down to a science, you know, as much so that I got to teach other people what I'm doing. So it's like, I got really good at what I do. And now it's easy that people show up and come, they're, you know, like, it's easy to market it, but if you spend so much time on marketing it, you're going to spend forever trying to get people to get it. Like, and so it speaks for itself. The results speak for itself and people feel the energy. It's not the right copy and the right words that I'm saying. It's something energetic. It's beyond just copy or branding, but that stuff does help. And that's a lot of what I help other people with is they're like, looking over landing pages or looking over their social media and helping them with ranking posts and stuff like that.
Yeah. To get the ads working, you really do have to have everything going for you. Branding wise, your copywriting, the landing page they go to, the core piece of content, the follow-up emails, retargeting ads, every little part of it has to be right. And with coaches, the ones that you saw that got those early success stories, you don't even see them anymore running ads nearly to the scale that they did. I don't even remember the last time I saw more than like 2 or 3 different coaches on my feed in a day. And in 2018 to 2020, there was like everything on my feed was like, watch my webinar. And then I joined that at the end of 2020, like very end, like horrible time, because I bought a course on how to do, a webinar to a course. And I was at the end of it where people were already like, okay, maybe not every one of these courses is as good as they promise. The industry kind of just like took a hit overall because people were like realizing they shouldn't.
So much is changing even right now, like with the ban of TikTok, which right before this podcast recording, I saw they're going through with it.
Really? Like, I didn't even know that until right now.
Yeah. I didn't until right before this. So it's like, all right, like unless they reverse it there, it seems like they're going through with it. So it's like the state of the ecosystem that is social media is about to change in a massive way. And the coaching industry is shifted. It's changed. It's not what it was. What worked in 2019 and what I was doing is not going to work today.
Yeah.
It just doesn't. And so with everything changing so rapidly now, also with AI coming in, that's why I, for myself as a coach, for any coaches listening, I was like, there's going to be a huge emphasis about to be on in-person experiences massively. And that's a skill set that I developed for so many years doing all my fitness stuff. So I'm just going to double down on that. And kind of like, yeah, be a social media entrepreneur, but like not, that's just going to get people to the in-person thing.
I shine so much more at those in-person events too. And something that I thought was really funny is from one of these coaches that kills it at the ad side of things and just being so excited on the ads, getting you to buy the product. And he's got good courses and everything, but man, just so much better on the marketing side of it. I remember seeing him at the conference. He was posting about it like in the group that we were in, because I was in his paid group. He was like trying to dodge everyone the whole time. Like he was just trying to go do his speech and then get back to his room. He's like, I don't want to talk to people. And I was like, well, I would rather not do anything else in the world than give that speech and then stay in the commons until 4 a.m. or until the last person's questions answer. Like, wow. I just want to totally be in that mix. And it really shows there's a lot of coaches out there that they do have good stuff, but they're just so much really, really good at the sales side. And some of the people who are the best coaches maybe aren't as it's not bad at marketing, but it's almost not as willing to stretch the truth is why it can be harder to You know, they're not really trying to just talk about like, oh, I have this one case study, so I'm going to just right. promise the world that they're all going to get those same results and yeah. really oversell it. So it is changing, especially on the customer side of things. They've likely had some kind of experience where they bought from a coach, or even if it was a video course that they just never opened, they're kind of like, okay, maybe I don't buy video courses anymore because I don't even personally open them. Right. They've just had some kind of experience. Yeah, what would you say? Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, to that, you kind of want to bulletproof yourself because so much is changing. We don't know what's changing into. And the best thing that, because the ecosystem's changing of social media, because the industry is changing of being an online entrepreneur, double down on your craft. That's why in the beginning I said, what did you do as a kid that lit you up? Stay true to yourself. Don't go after the shiny object of whatever everybody else is building. Like, maybe you don't need to make $250,000 a year. Maybe you just need to make 100K and you're fucking happy. Like, don't try to do the thing just because you're trying to do the thing. Get really clear with within yourself of what do you fucking love doing and you would do without money, and get really fucking good at it. Because the ecosystem is going to change again in 3 years, in 5 years, in 10 years. It's always going to be changing. And if you just try to stick with the ecosystem, you're going to burn yourself out. Oh, I got to update. And I got to get the newest marketing thing. And I got the newest thing, this thing. And I got to be on Instagram and on TikTok and on YouTube. Dude, I just focus on Instagram. Like, I tried to do all those other things. And for me, it was too much. So I'm just going to stay true to myself. And when I get to a certain level, I'll hire out people that can help me with all the thing. But I'm just going to stay true to myself. Get really fucking good at my craft. So that's the best way you can bulletproof for what's happening right now. And I would also love to still give some advice on whether it's posting on Instagram or things of that nature that can help people in the more immediate.
You're not solely posting reels like a lot of people might be trying to do right now. Have you found that your carousel posts are doing as well as ever, or?
Yeah, the Instagram algorithm changed. They changed it obviously to push reels, and then they changed it to where they're not pushing reels as much. They also push carousels. So carousels are doing really amazing. So I've just been honestly going through my old content recently and just putting together a bunch of them and with the same topic and putting them out. It's been doing really well. When I'm creating though, like as much as it's kind of overdone, you want to be. My brand is tough lovey. So it's like in your face confrontation that everybody else is scared to tell you. This ain't the fluff. Yeah, I'm the heart guy, but like, I need you to wake up to the truth because that's actually your heart. I'm not going to sugarcoat shit. And so I think people love that energy from me because a lot of the other brands that are doing quote cards like me are a little bit, either super sentimental or they're like teachy. And mine's just like the energy. Like I'm speaking to a friend as if I was really passionate about a topic, you know, and capturing that. And to your point of that you mentioned in the beginning of like, how do you get what you want to say down in like a few sentences? Mm-hmm. How I like to think of it is because I have a language when I'm talking to my coaching friends, I'm talking about things that my followers probably don't know about. Just as if you were talking to a business owner, you're going to talk about things that you wouldn't talk to your clients about. You know what I mean? So I translate it into their language. So, you know, they may not use the term self-abandonment, for example. I'm abandoning myself. They probably don't even fucking know they're doing it. They're probably like, why am I so unfulfilled? So then I'll speak to unfulfillment. I translate this can happen for a lot of people who are good at what you do. You have these concepts, and instead of trying to teach these concepts to people, just drop to their level and speak their language. Kind of like if you had a first grader, you're not going to use words like you're in college. You speak to them like a first grader. And so you kind of get to do that with your audience. At the level that they're at, speak to where they're at because it resonates with them. They're going to be like, oh, that's exactly what I was thinking. if there's a huge disconnect, if you're using your language and you're like in college in terms of your knowledge about what you do, they don't know all that stuff. And especially for the coaches out there, that can be really helpful. And even no matter what you're doing, like think about where your avatar is at, your ideal client, where they're at on their journey, and speak to them in that. And most of the time you've been there yourself. So speak to the old version of you.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard a lot of coaches, their ideal client is themselves like 5 years ago or mm-hmm. however many years ago.
Yeah. And so it's really just speaking, using the words that they would use. That's good marketing, instead of the words that you use. So that can be helpful. But what I'm doing when I'm creating these quote cards that are like one or two sentences is, again, like I'm thinking of a controversial belief that I have. And I just put the stake in the ground. Like, this is it. Like, I saw a video from Mr. Beast who was saying, he was on a podcast and he was talking about like, you don't need to say, yeah, I like bananas. You need to say bananas are the best fucking fruit on the planet. Like you need to make a stand right for something, and don't kind of beat around the bush with your beliefs. And so that's, especially for what I'm doing, it's super helpful for content creation in that manner.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So do you often type it out and then you refine the words quite a bit?
So when I'm making content, I'll brain dump on a Google Doc and then I'll be like, ooh, that had some charge to it. And then I can play with it and I'll create it on Instagram. But that's also what I do when I'm like helping people with landing pages and their own copy for their website and stuff. I love working with copy and developing branding. And it's all about the customer experience. Like, where's their eyes? I literally did this today for a buddy of mine. He sent over a landing page he just created. And I just like gave him all these tweaks because I'm thinking, what are they looking at? Where are their eyes going on the page? What are they going to look over? Like all that type of thing. And that lights me up. But when it comes to creating content, almost always either have a friend next to you who can just ask you questions. Literally their only job is to ask you questions. They can't comment or say anything else. Just so you can get in the flow and talk like I'm talking right now, like really fucking passionate and on fire about something, because that's when your good shit comes out. Or you journal, brain dump on the voice to text on your phone or on your computer and you're typing it out, whatever. Just brain dump shit. And from that, you can deduct and start coming up with things that you can double down on.
What have you found is like a good nightly routine or morning routine, even if it's not like every single morning you do this? You said like journaling is something good. Is there any other thing like that you feel like a lot of entrepreneurs need to be doing?
There's a book called The Artist's Way that I highly recommend. It's 12-week, like being creative again, you know? But in it, it talks about doing morning pages, which is fill up 3 pages of a brain dump every morning. And for that whole 12 weeks, that's what you're doing. You go to a blank page. And even if you're just right, I don't want to fucking do this right now. You write it. Like, what are you thinking? What are you seeing? What are you feeling? Just getting in the act of putting your brain onto paper is helpful. And for a lot of, entrepreneurs, and especially in the social media space, people want to know what you're thinking. So like, people want to know your opinions. People want to know your knowledge and the skill sets that you have. So a lot of it's just putting that shit out. And actually, I have a friend of mine who's also a client right now, and I just gave him a challenge that I'd love to give to everybody else. Focus on creating 100 pieces of content and don't look at your metrics until you've hit number 100. Just put stuff out and get used to putting stuff out. Then you can go back and go, okay, that did well, that didn't. I had fun doing this type of way. And then you can like refine, but don't like so many people put out 20 and get disheartened.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a repetition game. It's a numbers game, especially with social media. So focus on putting out 100 and then you can start to track metrics and stuff like that. And that's a belief that I have, because again, I'm more focused on supporting you listening in developing your skill set of putting yourself out there online. The skill of communicating your talents or your heart on social media as a platform and engaging with social media, being social on social media, that's a skill that no matter what platform we use, whether it's TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, something else in the future, that nobody can really take from you.
What's your content posting strategy? Is it planned every week that you're posting on these days, or do you just, as soon as you're inspired, you have an idea, it's going?
For the longest time, it was just a discipline thing. No matter what, posts once a day. And I would just, you know, a conversation that I had with a friend or something that I saw inspired me or whatever, but I would sit down and almost force their creativity, like, post, don't care how you feel. What do you want to post about? I don't know. What's on my heart to talk about? I'd look for inspiration. I'd think back to a client call I recently had, something of that nature. Okay. Now it's been a lot more sporadic and I only really post when I'm inspired. But for the most part, I noticed that my posts do really well at a certain time. So I just, whenever it's that time of day, it's kind of like clockwork. Like I have a break in my calls during that time. So I usually go on social media. Also in the beginning, when I would start out, I noticed I was really creative before a workout. So I would walk on the treadmill for like 15 minutes and that's when I would write my stuff. So again, kind of find what works for you.
Yeah, I think that point you made of doing it around fitness has been something that I've seen too, where I've planned certain events that may be harder to do or just needing to be more awake and alert for around a fitness activity is usually a good way to do it. So we'll do one more marketing question, then we're going to dive into some other stuff. What would just be something that you think I should ask you about marketing wise for what you're going to do in this next year?
You need to be different. How can you stand out in your branding, in your marketing, in how you present yourself? My brain's always going to, how can I make this unique? I want to stand out and be unique. And part of that's from like some of my childhood shit where I just wasn't seen, didn't feel seen or acknowledged. So I got really good at like, hey, see me, which is part of where the ADD came from. But my brain neurology in that time, because I was a kid, developed into how can I make this stand out, which is helpful for branding and marketing. So I would, you know, ask yourself, how can you make it pop and be unique and different than everybody else? Because if you're just like everybody else, you're cookie cutter, man. And that's probably the number one thing that clients or even my fucking girlfriend come to me and say, I loved about your posts and your how you are on social media is you're not cookie cutter. You're not like everybody else. You're really you. And it's like a breath of fresh air. And so that would be my biggest thing is like, make it unique. How can you make it unique and play and have fun? And don't just try to do what other people are doing. Like, I think that's part of what the industry looked at of like model success. Yeah. And be yourself. That in and of itself, that right there, model success. Yes. And be yourself.
Yeah.
I would say be your fucking self. That's a fucking quote card right there. Like I also take it from my client calls. If I say something, I'm like, damn, I'm going to write it down. I write it down in the middle of a session uh-huh. with a client, you know?
Yeah. I found it funny when I was in college, I was doing Cutco and I was doing a lot of speeches with Cutco. And so many of them were based off of, here's why my roommate's mindset sucks. And like, I wouldn't say that, right? But it's like, I know what this is based on. It's like me listening to some other people in my life. And then now I don't have as many negative people around, but I mean, in college, you're obviously just going to be surrounded with plenty of negative people by default, you know, or something someone said in class, and that would kind of turn into my next content. But you do have to have a mind for content, I found, because people will be like, how do you always come up with another post? I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I have so many unposted posts on my phone, like I can make a post about this right now, right? Because if you're just kind of viewing life through this perspective of learning to teach later, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you kind of get just good at sharing what you know. Mm-hmm. You know? And then for those of you who, because you can also, dude, and then we didn't really talk about this, but you can build a successful business without being popular on social media or having a huge following.
Yeah.
That's a possibility. So it's like building the animal that is a huge audience and a following and all of that stuff. A different skill set than actually building a successful business. So you know, for a lot of business people, that's why being an online entrepreneur is so tough, because they're also now needing to learn how to speak on TikTok and all the things. So seeing it as a different skill and seeing it for what it is. And again, like, be social on social media. A lot of the brands on TikTok, RIP, crazy it's going away, but like the brands that are crushing it on TikTok, and I'm talking big name brands, they're not posting traditional branded content like they would on a commercial.
Yeah.
They're posting as it, like, they're hiring some dude and he's making stuff from his phone in his kitchen, you know? And it's like, that is being relatable is more important than being perfect and having the perfect lighting and a perfect camera and all that shit. People just want to be related, like peer to peer, none of the top down stuff.
It's with delivery too. I realized that at the beginning, my delivery is so much like, hey guys, like, I know I don't deserve your attention, but I forgot it. If I could just have it for a second, this is what I'm like, three Instagram tips is what I'm telling you about today. And then you more just have a delivery where the attention is assumed and you're not really sugarcoating it. Find yourself is easier said than done. But I think what he said before about do 100 posts and just worry about that is probably the quickest path to you getting there. So shifting gears here, you speak about ADD, like, and then I cured myself from it. I think that's an interesting perspective. I've had multiple different thoughts of how I viewed ADHD over time. I heard a post one day with someone talking about it, like, you just had someone in your life that was so critical of you that you learned to just tune out the world. Or something that happened that made you lose focus intentionally. Like, you're trying to not be present. You're actively trying to not be focused. And then it just carries on to other aspects of your life. How do you view it? Because you talk about it like it's curable, but it maybe if you were in a traditional job that you didn't want to do at all, it comes back to you. So speak on that.
So again, this is what I did. I quit taking all of my medicine and I was on Vyvanse and all this shit, heavy doses of everything. I stopped taking all my medicine cold turkey and I started lifting weights and eating healthy. So I was also eating like shit, like literally Cheetos and Doritos and Sprite. And like, I was just had no greens, no health at all in my nutrition. And so I started paying attention to my body and just like eating better and clean, nutritious foods, not going on a diet, not focusing on calories, like being healthy and cutting out a lot of the toxins that are in food, namely seed oils, high fructose corn syrup, refined sugars. I got really healthy and clean from my nutrition militantly. And it wasn't convenient at the time at all. And it still never is, really. It's more convenient now than it used to be, but like, so I did that, and for a while things got worse before they got better. For about 3 months, it got way worse. So I just want to like note that. And then now doing the work that I do, like I mentioned, building peace in the nervous system, it's really about healing trauma and healing things and experiences that had happened in the past. I had this, I don't feel seen. And I also had this, I got shamed for my big emotions or made wrong for feeling emotions. And then I think something's wrong with me. And so it had, and I'm like, you know, I was like five. So I have no way to process this. So I just, you're hyper. Cause you're like, I don't feel safe. Like, this is what your body's doing. I don't feel safe. I don't feel safe. I don't feel safe. So I'm just going to go here. Da, 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 da. And like, or I create the story in my head because holy shit, this is a lot to deal with right now. We don't know how to cope. And so in a way I see for a lot of people, ADD as a coping mechanism in your body. Not for your conscious mind, your body's trying to like fucking make survive. And so because it's too much going on, or you're neglected in some fashion, or you were shamed for something, you don't feel safe. And so if you don't feel peace, body, of course you're going to be high strung. Of course, you're not going to focus well, you know? And so I see a lot of it as a grassroots issue in the home, in the family dynamic. And in the food that we're eating, because the food also affects our state of our nervous system. If you're eating seed oils, you're poisoning your gut. You're eating processed sugar. You're eating food coloring and food dyes. Like that shit is, think about when you have too much coffee. But that's like with the food, you know? And so your body's not going to be in a state of homeostasis or harmony at all. You're going to be very dysregulated and on edge. And that can lead to cognitive dysfunction as well. Because your gut health is very strongly linked to your mental health. And so your ability to focus is also your ability to digest food. If you don't digest food well, if you have leaky gut like I did for 3 years, you're not going to be thinking clearly. And you're going to have dark, depressing thoughts like I did. And I knew all the coaching mindset shit. Until I healed my gut, I didn't get out of my depression. And I didn't get out of my ADD either until I started focusing on my body. So I see it as a body issue and specifically a relational issue when it comes to your home and family dynamic for so many kids. And like you said, yeah, if you're in a job you hate, you don't want to fucking do it, you're going to disconnect and have an ADD brain. And that's okay too. And mine was very, I don't want to downplay it because like I was diagnosed as severe ADD. I was in special needs classes. I had extra timing on tests. I had extra tutoring after school. I had a very heavy dose of the medicine that I was taking. So I didn't have it mildly. I found, like I said, now a pathway for that energy to flow into one thing. Instead of being dispersed like this in a million different ways, I didn't know how to handle it. Well, I processed a lot of my stuff. I healed my body. I cleared a lot of the relational stuff that was happening. Sorry, I'm dog sitting right now. And I was able to channel it into passion, which is what it is. The human spirit by nature is full of passion. And if it has nowhere to go, it's just going to disperse everywhere, or you collapse on yourself and you just get depressed. So find that thing that you're passionate about that's genuinely, uniquely you. Get good at that, go in that direction, and have the natural energy that you were given as a human poured into that. Being high strung and high energy is not a bad thing. If you can't, the word that the people say can't control it, what's really happening is if you don't have another mode of operation, all you are is high strung, you don't have range as a human. Can't be intimate, you can't be deep, you can't be sensual, then like what's happening? Like there's something off. So can you restore the whole spectrum of what it means to be a human? Can you be peaceful and passionate and all the things? Can you allow yourself to go there in the range of emotions? And that's a lot of what I help clients with.
The question, find your purpose, is such a hard question to answer. And I think even when people find maybe that their purpose is that I just want to raise a family and have security with my job, like I feel like that is a good answer if that really is what that person's purpose is. But even that person who finds that might be like, should it be a bigger answer? Like it seems like, do I need to open a charity? And what have you found is really what the question people should be asking themselves is, because like, what is your purpose just makes your mind go in all these different directions. And it can be really difficult. Like, is there a way that you recommend people start to think about it that can clarify that purpose for them?
Right. I think a lot of it's in asking the wrong question. And what I mean by that is there's a book called Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And it's essentially around, we're asking like, what's the purpose of life? What's the meaning of all this? We're asking the wrong question. And so in the similar way, what's your purpose? Find your purpose. What's my purpose? You're asking the wrong question. And now I say that knowing, going deep down the rabbit hole of personal development and trying to find my purpose and define my purpose in words. And I can just say that for me, I got to this point where my purpose was so big and yeah, it lit me up, but I couldn't just be Kevin because my life was about my purpose. And it created a lot of pressure on me and I couldn't just chill out and be myself. So I flipped it and realized, you know what? I'm my purpose. I am the purpose. Me being here is the fucking mission because I have a 500-year business plan, still do. But in the beginning, when I created that, when I got into all of that, I was like, oh my God, like, had all this pressure on me to do it now and all this stuff. And I said, you know what? I'm the purpose. It's going to happen. I don't have to make it happen. My purpose is going to happen. And that's just trusting yourself and trusting the universe. I'll figure it out. And like so many young people are trying to figure that out. And it's like, dude, you need to experience life. I'm 29 and I'm like, dude, you still got a lot of life to experience. My purpose right now could change in 5 years. And being open to that and not trying to have it all figured out, I think is really important. It'll come to you. Your purpose will find you if you're open to receiving it. There's a book called Rick Rubin's new book. What's the name of the book? The Creative Act. And Rick Rubin's an amazing human. I highly recommend the book. But in it, he talks about just being receptive to creativity. Can you just be open? And then the ideas come to you the same way. Don't chase what your purpose is. Your purpose will find you. In the same way with dating, don't chase people. They will find you if you are just open. So then really it's healing what's causing the seeking in the first place that will create that opening. And you can have that purpose then find you.
Yeah, that makes sense that the purpose of just being present and open to receiving things is enough. And I've found that anxiety is usually rooted how I've explained it to myself. When I get to the end, I'm like, all right, I think it's mostly just I either I'm not trusting myself or I'm not trusting the universe or just the flow of everything because I'm trying to have some kind of control over where I'm going. I don't want to find my purpose later. What if it doesn't come to me? Like, let me just find it now. Let me think. Let me sit here and think about it. Let me brainstorm and I'll find my purpose in time. It doesn't necessarily have to be because when you come up with the example answers, I think that's the thing that like has thrown me off. Like no one's ever had like a great example answer unless they do own a charity or have this thing that like the world can see, like that's very virtuous. That's amazing. But even then it's like, it probably won't even take your entire life to start this charity. It's just going to be something that you really focus on the next few years and then you'll be on to other things. So it's, you don't really know what your purpose will be in 10 years. But why would you need to if you really do trust yourself?
Trust your path. You don't need to know the destination. Just enjoy the journey. Really. I mean, as corny as that sounds, like enjoy life. Stop trying to have it all figured out and like know your purpose and know what you're doing. Can you be okay with saying, I don't know what I'm doing right now? You know what? I'm taking a break from things. I'm figuring it out. Like there's so much shit around that in society. Like, can you allow it? And in that, you'll find it. But give yourself the time to find it. You know what I mean? And so even what I talked about in the beginning, be true to yourself. And it takes the season of uncertainty to discover yourself. You're not just going to sit down and go to a personal development event and be like, there it is. That's who I am. Like I did all of those things. And that was true for a time. And then it ended up putting me in a cage where I didn't know who I was because I created who I thought I needed to be. And so be in the exploration for yourself. What really lights you up? Your purpose will come to you. Your purpose is happening right now. To think that it's not is again, not true. Like you said, not trusting.
How many quote cards have I gotten you to come up with throughout this interview?
So many, man. I mean, already.
Nice. Yeah, there's going to be a race to post when we get off of this so I can post your purpose will come to you. let's see here. We'll start to wrap up, but I want to talk about getting to the root of it and like sending people off in the right direction. If they're like, okay, I got to find myself like, or I got to let it come to me. But I do, or they're in that, they want to go, they need to discover themselves a little bit more. Maybe they're in that phase where they're like, yeah, I am consuming a lot of content. I've had phases in my life where I'm just watching so much personal growth stuff. And then, I will then read books on it. And just, you know, like the years where your goal is to read a book a month or two books a month or something. And you're just trying to be a sponge and take everything in and figure out who you are, based off of other people's life experiences, going out and experiencing things. I recently found I've been kind of a chronic overthinker my whole life. And in the last week, I mean, I've always been trying to find like what the root of the error is. Right. I had predictions like, oh, it's a dopamine addiction is what's going on, but that still is the cause, right. Of it, or the effect of it. So, and then I learned about attachment styles, and then that for me, you know, might not be for everyone, but I was like, oh, like this just gave me an explanation that I was searching for a long time, and just kind of made sense of how I've approached business goals, relationship goals, and so many things. And it almost stopped my overthinking more than, I mean, certainly did more than anything that ever has, like any single piece of information. So I did a podcast last week about why people should at least go check out attachment styles in case it's something that they should be looking into. But have you found there's something like that that would be, you know, a good first place for someone to start?
I would say just getting a general understanding of the impact that trauma has on our life. Because what you're saying is, oh, that's why I'm this way. It's because I'm this attachment style, right? If you want to understand why you do almost everything that you do, it's to avoid pain or to gain pleasure. The pain you're avoiding is trauma from the past, more often than not. Or you see other people in their shit and you're like, I don't want to experience that. So understand that is the mover forward. Our actions for overthinking, for anxiety, for ADD, for a lot of stuff that we just talked about. Start to understand that. And I believe there is a movie or a Netflix out about the effects of trauma. I don't know what it's called, but I'm sure y'all could look it up and find it. But I would say start there and just start looking at the effects that trauma has on the nervous system, on the body, on your experience of life. And it's a lot more than you think. And you're probably like, I don't know. I've been through trauma, or I don't think I've had any trauma. Every human has been through trauma. In one degree or another, there's different degrees of it. There's different flavors of it. There's different styles of it. But it impacts us. And if we don't create healing from it, we will continue to live our lives and think it's fate. But there's things that are unconscious controlling us. And so if you really want to be free, heal your trauma, heal that stuff. Go look there. I would say that's okay. The key really to some fulfillment, knowing yourself, knowing your purpose, and creating a business online that's genuinely you. And you're not trying to be someone or do something else or copy somebody else or just get caught up with the times. You're happy, man. At the end of the day, we almost want to be happy. So where are you adding unnecessary stress, or are you going down the wrong path? Well, check your motives.
How much would you say a therapist is necessary in finding the root of the trauma?
It can definitely help. I mean, many of my clients have been to therapy for years, but they come to me and we actually heal shit. So if you want to be aware of it, go to a trauma specialist. If you want to heal it, go to a trauma specialist or a coach who's trauma-informed at least.
Yeah, that makes sense. I did a therapist in the past that I ended up just coaching him on his business. what wasn't the best investment? I don't think there's any blanket statement that can be made about therapists that would be accurate. But of course, you don't want to just say, I went to one and it didn't work. You know, make sure you keep searching for what would help you. But obviously, Kevin Crenshaw is your guy to turn to. So Kevin, what would be the best way for people to keep in touch with you?
Right now, Instagram, that may change though. A lot of things are changing, but the Heart Guy on Instagram, you can also go to heartguy.com. We've got a bunch of free courses and stuff. And also you can funnel hack me, go check out all my stuff, see what I've done. Especially the branding of the site, heartguy.com. And you know, if you got any questions, hit me up, let me know. I'm here to support in any way that I can, especially any entrepreneurs out there. We're tuning in. It's a passion of mine to help with branding and marketing. So
truly awesome stuff, Kevin. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.